Well, it's good to see you all out again tonight, and can I just say as well that as this is the last time I'll be here for perhaps probably a year, I do want to say thank you again to those of you who have been very hospitable to myself and to Andrew this week, and particularly to your minister. I really want to thank you for the hospitality. It's just a real privilege to meet people I've never met before and yet to receive such kindness from you. And I appreciate that because I'll be setting out again for another year of college. And it might not seem much, just praying, but I can assure you it's a wonderful thing. And I can know during my last set of exams, as I was coming up to it, I was feeling very unwell. And I was very worried about the exams, thinking whether or not I'd be able to get through. But I definitely felt the Lord's help, and I really felt that I knew that people were praying for me. And so I just share that with you to encourage you that I really do value the support from Australia and from you as a congregation, and I really do appreciate that. But tonight I want to preach on a question, and the question simply is, who will bow the knee to Christ? Who will bow the knee to Christ? To bow the knee is to acknowledge authority and to give reverence to someone who is greater than you are. For instance, if you were to meet the Queen of England, you would bow the knee to the Queen of England as an acknowledgement of respect, as an acknowledgement of her power, as an acknowledgement that you are a subject of her kingdom, of her empire. And so you would bow down in submission to that person who has greater authority than you do. And that is what it means to bow the knee. It's to acknowledge a person's authority and power. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn from Scripture that He is God in human flesh. We read that in 1 Timothy 3:16. That God was manifested in flesh, speaking of Christ. We read in Scripture that He is the Creator. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1 and verse 3, God said, let there be light. And so Christ is the Creator, but He is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, turn with me to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. We read here of the authority of Christ. It says there of Christ in verse 15, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is His title. That is His authority. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so a correct view of Jesus Christ will view Him in such a way. And so I put the question before you again tonight. Will you bow the knee to Jesus Christ? Will you bow the knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You see, in our modern times, the Lord is often portrayed in a very gentle and weak and unauthoritative way. We see this in the pictures and the paintings of the so-called portrayed of Christ. We see this in the mockings of Him in operas like Jesus Christ Superstar. We see this in the way that people speak about Him in the media and on the radio. And the whole world is geared towards presenting Christ in a way that is powerless, in a way that diminishes the authority of Christ. You see, if you talk to the average person and you ask them about Jesus Christ, the idea we have is of this meek and mild, gentle personality who went about doing a few good things and, well, He had a good attitude towards people. He was charitable, but that's about as far as it goes. But you know, the world tonight hates the truth of Christ and his person. And I'm not talking about the fraud. I'm talking about the real person. The Christ that is revealed in the scriptures. You see, man is rebellious to Christ. Man hates the idea of Christ having authority. The truth of Christ having authority over him. Man's reaction today is, well, we will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want this type of teaching. We don't want this type of truth. We don't want to be under authority. And yet the Bible declares that Christ has authority. But I want to show you tonight from the scriptures four things that acknowledge the authority of Christ. Four things that bow the knee to Christ. Firstly, I want you to see that the wind and the waves bow the knee to Christ. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. And we read from verse 22. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And when we consider this passage, what a tremendous scene that this is. Here we have the disciples and Christ entering into a boat, and they're sailing across the water. And here you have the winds and the waves raging. And as it says there, the boat is filling with water. I went out with a boat on Saturday, and we had a lovely day, and it was calm water. But I would have been worried if there was winds and waves, and the water was beginning to pour in, and we were beginning to sink. You can imagine the fear. You can imagine the feeling coming upon those men. A realization that the boat is sinking. A realization that death may be coming soon. This is the environment, and these disciples are worried. Now, these men would have been experienced fishermen. They would have been, very good fishing. They would have been known those waters. And yet here is a storm that even they are afraid at. And they realize they're in danger of sinking. And they come to Christ, and there he is sleeping. And that tells us that he's not concerned by this storm. He's not threatened by this storm. He sees the waves, and imagine the boat would have been rocking to and fro. It would have almost been impossible to go to sleep. Such would have been the raging of the storm. And the disciples go to the bottom of the ship, and there's Christ sleeping. How remarkable that is. But you see, dear friends, he's not concerned. He is not threatened. And in verse 25 we read, that in verse 24, here they come to Christ and they say, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. Notice there, he commanded the winds and the water, and they obey him. They obey him. They bow the knee to Christ. And you think of that, dear friends, today when we think of the power of nature. Some of you, most of you, in fact all of you will know. You might see footage on TV or perhaps of the force of the wind. We might have experienced it. The energy of an earthquake. Such power, such force. The power of the waves to dash a boat upon the rocks. And when we look at these things, we're in awe of the power of nature. But yet the amazing thing is here is that Christ is greater. Christ has authority even over the winds and the waves. And again, doesn't that show to us how little power we have? How we even are beaten by the winds and the waves, and yet we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ is not. But the winds and the waves bow the knee to Christ. But secondly, the devil and the demons bow the knee to Christ. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. And we read there, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." And here we have Jesus Christ healing the sick. And here he is casting out demons. And this is a remarkable thing. And here he, as he is doing so, as he is casting out these demons, the demons are actually acknowledging who Christ is. They say there, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And so even in this act, as Jesus is casting out the demons are acknowledging the authority of Christ. They're acknowledging the fact that he has greater power even over the demons and the devil. Now can you make that type of a confession tonight? You see, the demons said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." How are you able to make such a confession? Have you ever in your life come to a point where you've acknowledged Christ and his authority? Because here we have the demons, and they're saying they know Christ. They know when he comes, and they know that they cannot resist his power. They know that they cannot overcome his authority. So the demons obey the voice of Christ. And we read there in verse 41, they knew that he was Christ. You see, these demons, they knew the Lord. They knew of his power. And so when the Lord comes, they realize that they are under his authority. And let me ask you that tonight. Do you know the Lord? You might not be converted outside of Christ tonight. Do you know the Lord? You see, these demons, when they encountered Christ, they knew who they were encountering. And they knew who he was. And they knew that his power was greater, and they were rebuked by the Lord. It's what power Christ has. But then look with me in Mark 1 and verse 27, because we see another example of this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 27. Mark chapter 1 and verse 27, and we read there, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And so even here, and look again with me please, in verse 24, Jesus again is casting out devils. And in verse 24 we read the devils saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Here is this demon-possessed man. And Christ comes along, and what a marvelous confession. "I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." What a marvellous statement of who Christ is. I wonder whether or not that's how we view Christ. The Holy One of God. The one who comes from God, but the one who is God. The one who is holy. You see, this is what this demon-possessed man said, but look again in verse 27, and these are the words I want you to notice. "For with authority." And there we have it. Jesus here is casting out these devils with authority, because he has the authority over these devils. You see, the Lord is greater than the devil. And we read there, it says, and they do obey him. There you have it. These demons, they bow the knee to Christ. They acknowledge his authority. They realize that his great power is greater than their power. And let me encourage you tonight, dear believer, that yes, we are in a spiritual warfare. Yes, our enemy is the devil. There's no doubt about it. And he will come to you and will try to lead you astray, will try to tempt you with sin, will try to tell you lies. This is the fact. He will try to destroy you. But my friend, realize this, Christ is greater. You see, you belong to Christ, and Christ is greater than the devils, and therefore we have the victory in Christ. And therefore we can not be afraid of the devil. And we know that we can stand in Christ, and he has the authority over the devil. And we can trust in the Lord to protect us and keep us from the attacks of Satan. Isn't that a wonderful thing tonight? You know, the Bible says that the devil cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And let me say that to those who are unconverted tonight. It is the devil's object to destroy your life. It is the devil's aim to send you to hell, to keep you away from church, to keep you away from the Bible, to keep you away from Christ, keep you away from the gospel. But the Bible says that Christ came to save. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. My friend, tonight you need Christ. But you see, the devils, they bow the knee to Christ. But then thirdly, death bows the knee to Christ. Now turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we read there in verse 17, John chapter 10 and verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And you see, the Lord here is speaking of his sheep, which he will lay down his life for to save them. And notice with thee here that Jesus says, I have power to lay it down. And so here he is, the Lord is claiming that he has power over death. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Because death is the one common thing with all of us humans. That one day we will all die. And it matters not what your position is in life, or what you have achieved in life. But most surely death will come to each one of us. And we cannot stop it. We cannot defeat it. Death is, as the Bible describes, the great enemy. But here we have the Lord saying that he has power over death. Such power the Lord has. You see, the Lord is not controlled by death. He's not limited by death. When the Lord walked on this earth, it wasn't as though that he was walking under a life knowing that at some point in time he would die by natural causes, or that his body would slowly degrade like ours did. But you see, he has authority over death. He has the jurisdiction over it. In fact, death bows the knee to Christ. Death bows the knee to Christ. Oh, what power the Lord has. You begin to see tonight the power of Christ, the authority of Christ. You see, it isn't this what the Lord showed us And when he rose again from the dead, the resurrection, Christ died upon the cross. He was buried. And yet 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And isn't that something that really distinguishes Christianity? Because we look at the religious leaders in all of the religions of the world, and it doesn't matter what they said or what they did, at some point they died. But it cannot be said of Christ. And let me say this to you tonight. If you run across anything that denies the resurrection of Christ, avoid it like the plague. Because the denial of the resurrection of Christ is a denial of the gospel. And it's a denial of the authority of Christ. It's a denial of the power of Christ. You see, Jesus Christ said in John 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And there you have it, friends. You see, death cannot control Christ. You see, what is it that the Lord's saying when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? He's saying, death can never, ever, ever defeat me. Death can never, ever defeat me. But in fact, Christ defeats death. And isn't that a wondrous thing for the believer? That yes, we may die before the Lord comes, but we won't be defeated by death. For as Christ rose, so will we. And isn't that a wondrous fact? That for the believer, we can face death knowing that the one who is our Saviour, the one who is our Redeemer, defeated death in his own resurrection. You see, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll know these verses. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, sorry, verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear believer, tonight you can thank God because of Christ. And yes, the believer can die well. The believer can die with joy. The believer can die victoriously. Because death has no victory over us if we're in Christ. But oh, if we're outside of Christ, death is the doorway to judgment and hell. But if you're in Christ, death is the doorway to the glories of heaven. Death is the doorway to the presence of Christ. Death is the doorway where we'll meet our blessed Savior. Where all our sorrow and tears will be no more. Where the pain of life, where there'll be no sin, no suffering. In the presence of Christ, beholding Him face to face. What a wonder. Oh, my friends, we can face death and have the victory because of Christ. And then finally, the unbeliever bows the knee to Christ in the day of judgment. The unbeliever bows the knee to Christ in the judgment. This is a solemn reality, and it gives me no pleasure to say it. But the unbeliever will indeed bow the knee to Christ in the day of judgment. You see, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. And this is what we read in verse 10. Verse 9, we'll start in verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and speaking of Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, this here is a message for you, dear unbeliever, tonight. And listen to me. You see, dear friends, at the judgment, which will come, for the Bible says, is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. If you have never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord in this life, if you've lived a life of rebellion against Christ, if you've refused to believe in Christ in this life, my friend, the reality is that you will, when you face Christ on Judgment Day, you will, because the Bible says so. You see, you may have never bowed the knee to the Lord. You may have refused Him all your life, but when you stand before Him, you will bow the knee. You might be sitting there tonight. You might be saying, I'm never going to bow the knee to Christ. You might be saying, well, it's not going to happen. I don't care what the preacher says. But you see, my friends, men these days mock Christ when He came to this earth first. But Christ came first in humiliation. He came in a body like ours. He came to perform redemption for us. But you see, He will return in exaltation. And my friends, you won't be facing a Christ in humiliation, but you will be standing before Him in His exaltation. And you will stand before Him. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you understand that tonight? Yes, you can mock Him now. You can refuse Him now. But my friend, when you stand before Him, you will know that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will bow the knee. But my friend, you will bow the knee to your own judgment. You see, you might say, as I've said, you might say, I've never bowed the knee to Christ, but when you stand before Him, and He is your judge, and He is your King, you will. Now I say to you tonight, it gives me no pleasure saying that, but it's the truth. My friend, God gives us this life to get right with Him. You have this opportunity to confess Jesus Christ now. My friend, if you miss this chance, if you deny Christ in this life, you will bow the knee to Him at the judgment. My friend, these are solemn words, but these are true words. You see, for you unbeliever tonight, the message is clear. You either bow the knee to Christ in this life to the salvation of your soul, or you bow the knee to Christ at the judgment and you spend an eternity in hell. And that shows to us the value of the life that God has given to us right now. And how easily we fiddle it away. How easily we waste our days. How easily we waste the time that God has given to us. But can you see the importance of it? My friend, you must bow the knee now. You must confess Christ as Lord now. You see, turn with me to Romans 14 and verse 11. Romans 14 and verse 11. We read there, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You see, this is universal. It's exclusive. Everybody will bow the knee to Christ. You see, you think of this, believer, tonight. It's a blessing for us to bow the knee to Christ, isn't it? That day when we acknowledge Christ as Lord, that day when we confess our sin, what a glory it was to be delivered from the dominion of Satan and to become a part of the kingdom of God. And oh yes, we were filled with joy to bow the knee to Christ, weren't we? And to admit Him as Lord and Saviour of our lives. But you see, it's exclusive. All will bow the knee to Christ. But are we bowing to Him in this life? Or are we bowing to Him at the judgment? And so I conclude tonight in Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. Because it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, that word there, confess, it means to assent, to acknowledge. And my friend, this phrase here, if thou shalt assent or to acknowledge, it means if thou shalt bow the knee to Christ. That's really what it means. To acknowledge who He is. You see, He is Lord, He is Saviour, He is the Redeemer. And my friend, will you assent to that? Will you acknowledge that? As every born-again believer has acknowledged it throughout the years of this world. Every person who has ever been saved, and every person who ever will be saved, has come to this position, has acknowledged this confession. You see, what did the Apostle Peter say to Jesus? Whom do men say that ye are? Jesus asked him. And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, that was Peter's confession. Peter, the Roman Catholic Church will say that Peter was the first pope. But there's Peter acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, the Roman Catholics have got no ground at all to say that Peter was the first pope, because Peter believed in Christ alone. And so here we have it. But you see, the resurrection of Christ here, in verse 9. You see, if thou shalt confess Jesus Christ, that is to acknowledge who He is. And then it goes on and it says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. And here we have the resurrection of Christ. And what does the resurrection tell us? It tells us that His death upon the cross, the shedding of His precious blood, it satisfies the divine justice of God. And so you and I can be redeemed. That's what the resurrection meant. God's justice, God's wrath has been satisfied. Atonement has been made. Sin has been put away. And Christ rises. And therefore, what's the message for us? Believe on the work of Christ on the cross. Believe. You see, Christ has died for the ungodly. Christ has taken our place. He suffered for the sins that we committed. And isn't that a marvel? That we have committed the sins. And yet if we repent and believe in Christ, He's the one that suffers. You see, He shed His blood. And gave His life upon the cross that we might be saved. And the Bible here is saying that if you will confess and acknowledge who God is and believe in the resurrection, believe in what Christ has done for you, thou shalt be saved. And do you believe that tonight? Do you believe it? Let me plead with you, do not delay. But believe. Bow the knee to Christ tonight. Confess your sin to God. Acknowledge who you are. And acknowledge who Christ is. And put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him to receive eternal life. You see, my friend, there is eternity waiting for each one of us. an eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven. And the decision that we make in this life determines eternity. You see, the Bible says that at the resurrection there will be the judgment of the just and the unjust. There will be only the just and the unjust. So my friend, which will you be found as? Will you be found in Christ? Will you have bowed the knee to Christ in this life? My friend, it burdens my heart for you to think that you would delay to face God on judgment day and to hear his words of condemnation. My friend, believe in him. Bow the knee now. Make him your Lord and Savior. Oh, dear friend, tonight do it. I love your soul. I want you to be saved. He saved me. He can save you too. Would you bow the knee to Christ and believe on him with all your heart? Be saved tonight. I leave that with you. I can say no more. My friend, the choice is yours. The message is clear. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen.